So if you have your Bible, again, go to Romans 6, 13, and we'll look at 13 and 14 in a moment. But I would just like to maybe lay a little foundation of what I would like to talk about. When we first come to the Lord, we come to the Lord for many, many reasons. I had my intentions when I came to the Lord, and you had your intentions when you came to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I was a mess. I was a mess when I came to the Lord. And we all have our intention. And you know what? Even God has His intentions. Do you know that? With us coming to the Lord, God has His intentions. In Jeremiah 29:11, God said of this, of the remnant that was taken to Babylon, "For I know the thoughts that I have for you." That word thoughts there is translated intentions. "For I know the intentions that I have for you, and they are for good and not for evil." God's intentions for us is to bring us to a place, a spiritual place in Him. Now, but don't feel bad if you're a mess and if your intentions aren't what they want to be. The disciples had a very, very difficult time as they walked around with Jesus. Because when Jesus was on earth, there was an extremely difficult turbulence always around Jesus as He walked. Wherever He walked, even though He's the Prince of Peace and the Lord, the King of Kings, there was always a turbulence that always centered around Jesus. And the disciples never got through that turbulence. They never understood. The only disciple that ever really understood anything what Jesus was really saying was Peter. When he said, "Why, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God." That was the only really time that any of the disciples ever really got anything that Jesus said. And so even in our life, there are some things in our lives, and they could be different than in my life, but I'm going to talk today about four or five things in our lives that we must allow God to get us through. If He's going to be able to bring us to the spiritual place that He desires for our life. God desires that we come into a spiritual place. And His plan and His purpose for our life is to come to the end of what He has planned for our life. But unless He can get us through some areas and some things in our life, He will never, ever be able to bring us to the end. The plans and the purposes that He made us for. And so the first thing I'd like to talk about is the biggest topic in the Bible. It is the number one topic that Jesus talked about. You know what that was? Nope. Sin. The biggest topic and the most important topic in the Bible and the number one topic that Jesus talked more about anything else is sin. And so that will bring us to Romans 6 and 13. Romans 6, 13 says, "And do not present your members as instruments." And what he's talking about, those members, is our body. We are not supposed to, this is Paul talking to the church at Rome, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness in sin, but present yourself to God as a living being, alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Now, the next verse right there is probably one of the most disbelieved verses in the Bible. Verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Wow. Can you imagine that? The intention for God in this verse right here is for sin not to have dominion over us. In other words, he was saying, sin shall not take you captive. You should not allow sin to rule your life. Sin is not supposed to be a part of our nature. Because that verse ends, "We are not under the law, we are under grace." Because of what Jesus did for us in our life, sin is not supposed to rule our life. We must come to a place, Christians, Christian church, and God, where sin does not rule our life. We must come to a place where sin is not a part of our daily thinking. Sin is not a part of of our life at all. We must come to a place where we really believe that 14th verse, that sin should not have dominion over us. And for that to happen, there must be a change of the way we think, and there must be a change of our heart. Not here in our mind, but we think as Christians in our heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his mind," no. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." In the Greek, that is translated as "the gate opens." For as a man allows the gate of his heart to open, so shall he be. So we must allow God to change our heart condition. We must allow God to work in our lives. We must allow God to mold us and shape us and break us and work deep, deep things in our life so that we will be able to come to one of God's intentions, another intention God has for us. You know what that is? Righteous living. Now, I like that. You like that? Righteous living. Where our living, we are just righteous. We don't have to think about it. To where our living is like breathing. That everything we do is right. That's what Jesus did in his life. Everything he did was righteous. And he didn't have to think, he didn't ask that, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be righteous." No. He just walked around and everything that he did was righteous. That is the intention that God has for us, is to bring us into a place to where our living is righteous. That we do everything right the first time. How many times did Jesus die on the cross? Once. How many times should we get saved? Once. But yet, every Sunday, some people walk the aisles, don't they? God's intention for our life is to be saved one time. And then, the verse that we read, 2 Peter 3:18, "Therefore, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." That is an intention of God. It's for us to grow, spiritually grow, in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we'll be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is when we allow God to work in our heart. Now, I will talk about that a little more in detail. That's a very painful process. But that is the only way we will ever be able to come to a church and it not be a church activity. It will not be just what, customs and traditions is when we really allow God to work in our life. So the very, very first thing that we must allow God to get us over and to pull us through, like that turbulence that was around Jesus, is sin. If God can't get you to stop sinning, and me too, He can't use you. He can't use you. You disqualify yourself for service. If you can't stop sinning, He can't use you. Will you come to church? Take your tithes, cut the grass, do all those things, but He can't use you. God must be able to work in our lives and get us to stop sinning. Now, I said we. I'm talking about myself. I mean, I haven't made it. You know, I'm not up here, I'm not up here preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself also. But that's an area in our life that we must allow God to work in our lives. The next area that I'd like to talk about is past hurts and failures. Wow. Past hurts and failures. Did you know in God it's okay to fail? Isn't that amazing? In God it's okay to fail as long as you don't get stuck in it. You fail at work, you might get sacked. But if you fail God because you're not under the law, we read that in the Bible, we're under grace. If you fail in God, there is grace. And He'll go ahead and redeem you. Amen? Failure is okay in God as long as you don't get stuck in it. However, it is not God's intention for us to keep failing. It's not. God does not want us to keep failing again and again. Thank God there's grace. Fail again and again and again. That's not God's intention for our life. God's intention for our life is to fail and learn from that failure and move on.
And never go back to that. Never go back.
There's a process that I like to call it learning and ever learning. But now I travel around the world. I've been to 89 countries in the world. 89 countries. And I've preached in these countries, and I've taught in Bible schools and churches, and you know, the Lord has really opened up a great ministry for us. But anyways, I see what I see in churches is learning, but never learning, Pastor Barnes. Learning, sitting in school, learning, preacher, Sunday after Sunday, teaching, and but not getting it. The process in God is to be learning and ever learning. Unless we allow God to work in our lives and work that process of learning and ever learning in our life, we will never, ever be able to be used by God. You have to learn things of the Spirit. Do you know that somebody out here in the crowd today may judge Gabriel someday? The Bible says, Paul told the church at Corinth, do you not know that you will judge the angels? Wow, check it out, it's in the Bible. Can you imagine somebody out here having the responsibility in the next age to come of judging Gabriel maybe? When will you learn how to do that? You learn how to do that now. You learn the lessons that God wants you to learn. And then, someday in the next life, whatever your job will be in the future, because, wait a minute, don't think you're going to go to heaven and float in a cloud and, you know, pluck some harp and eat, you know, bonbons and have a good time. Heaven is not like that. Now, I don't know, I've never been there, but the Bible I read says we're going to work. There's work in heaven. Anyways, I wouldn't want to go to heaven and do nothing anyways. I mean, worship God, yeah, that's a wonderful, but you know, that's, and I want to do that. But, you know, the Bible I read says we're going to work. Those that don't work shouldn't eat. The Bible says, wow, man, we have to allow God to work in us and get us over failures. And we get over failures by learning the lessons that we need to learn. Learning and ever learning. How about that next one? Past hurts. Past hurts. Is there anybody here been hurt?
Of course.
A hurt will keep you out of where God wants you to be faster, almost as fast as sin. Sin's number one way. But I will tell you, a past hurt will keep you in bondage. Bondage. You allow that hurt to hold you back. And it's like a vice, and it just squeezes you, and it squeezes your mind. Oh no, it squeezes your heart. And that hurt will prevent you from doing the things that God wants you to do. Well, I'm here today, in the name of Jesus, be free from those hurts. Allow God to work in your life. Allow God to bring that hurt to you. And you and the Lord take that thing head on and conquer that. Because you can't conquer it in yourself. Hurts are things of the heart. Hurts are things of the heart. And things of the heart hinder. They squeeze where no one can see. They squeeze your heart. Tears run out of your eyes. Isn't that amazing? When you squeeze your heart, tears run out of your eyes. If there's hurts in your life, then you need to allow God to work in your life. And you need to take those hurts, you and God together, head on and conquer them. Victory, like we said. God wants to bring us into victory. He doesn't want to bring us into failure. There's my church, a failure. No, there's my church is victory. But you know, it's our decision whether or not we come into victory. Isn't that amazing? Anything you get from God is up to your decision that you make. Are you willing to do the things in God that is required to go into victory? To get over that hurt. Are you willing to allow God to work in your life? If you are, then that hurt can be gone today. Now, I don't know whatever hurt you've had in your life. I know I've had some hurts in my life. But I will tell you, those hurts that have kept me in the back are gone. Because I have internalized this word and I've allowed God to work in my life. But you know what? It's kind of funny. And we allow God to work in our life. Guess what we see? We see ourselves a little clearer. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty scary sight. That's a pretty scary sight. So the first one we looked at, we got to get over sin. Sin, we must stop sinning. And two, past hurts. Past hurts and failures. 1 Peter 4:8 says that love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a wonderful verse? Wonderful. Love covers a multitude of sins. But whose love is Peter talking about? Not God's love. Nice try. Not God's love. Does God's love cover sin? Are your sins covered? Mine aren't. Mine have been wiped away as far as the east is from the west. Right? Peter was talking about your love. Above all things, it says, above all things, have fervent love, the word is agape, one for another, because love, agape, covers a multitude of sins. Wow. John 1:29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming in a walk, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, he who covers the sins." No, didn't say that. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, he who," and I'll finish this in the Greek, "he who takes away the sins of the world." Wow. Cover it. Peter was talking about your love and your love. Peter was talking about the love that you have allowed God to work in your life. Peter was talking about the love, the mercy, the long-suffering that God has been able to work in your life. And when your brothers and your sisters do things against you and say evil words and steal from you and do all of those bad things, the love that God has worked in your life wells up in your spirit and covers your ears and covers your hearts from the deeds and the words that has been spoken. God's love takes away the sins of the world. But it's your love. And you only have that love when God works in your life. We must allow God to work in our life and get us over failures and get us over hurts. But I promise you, that's a very, very painful process in our life. You know, there's... And number three is very, very important in the Bible. And there is a price that you will pay to know the power of God. Isn't that wonderful to know? Who wants to know the power of God? There's a price you will pay to know that power. There is a different price that you will pay to know the presence of God. Wow. Who wants to know the presence of God? Well, if you do, there's something that God will ask of you to know that presence. And if you want to know the person of God, I promise you, it will require all of you. To know the person of God will require all of you. A different price. Something totally separate. To know the person of God. The next area, and it's a big area, and I think everybody's going to go, instead of saying amen, they're going to go, oh me. And that is offense. Did anybody go, oh me yet? Okay, I will. Oh me. I don't know about you, but Pastor Barnes, I don't know about you, but I get offended. You mean you guys don't get offended? Did you know that getting offended is the number one obstacle in hearing from God? Getting offended. And I tell you, getting offended time and time and time again means you have refused to allow God to work in your life. Did you know that you cannot get offended if there's no offense in you? Isn't that amazing? If there's no offense in you, you cannot get offended. But we get offended when someone's words or actions reach out and touch the offense in us.
Here's the offense right here. All of a sudden, your words, boom. Ha! Who do you think you are? Talk to me like that. My goodness. Holy cow. That's why we get offended. And we get offended again and again and again and again. That's the Lord revealing an area in our life that we need to have removed. That's a sign from the Lord saying, look, you got offense in there, Dave. You got to get it out of your mouth, speaks your heart. If I want to know what's in your heart, I'll let you talk. You can tell me everything all about you, what's ever in your heart. Right? The Lord took me to, I think it was my third or fourth time I went to Suceava, Romania. Wonderful church. Suceava is near the Moldovan border, way up in Romania. And I think it's about my third or fourth time there. And Pastor Nacu said, Dave, I said, we're going to go to this orphanage, and would you please present the Christmas gift? And I said, well, I would love to do that. Wow, you know. And he said, yeah, we worked 3 years. 3 years to buy Christmas gifts for these kids in this orphanage. Can you imagine that? Working 3 years so they could buy Christmas gifts for, for 1 year. I said, well, I would be honored to do that. So anyway, we owned about 3 foot of snow on the ground. We were a little late because of the snow. And we got there and they ran us upstairs. This is an old Soviet orphanage. And they ran us upstairs, and there was about 4 or 5 chairs, and and they put me in the center, and then there was Pastor Nacu on the left, and there was Boot Don, and he played the guitar, really good guitarist. And so we were sitting there, and on stage was a bunch of little Romanian kids, and I said, wow, look at these kids. And so they were singing some Christmas carols. I remember the tune, but they were singing in Romanian. I thought, well, how wonderful. When they finished, they reached in their pocket. And all of a sudden, boom, they pelted me with corn and rice and a couple rocks or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on here, I said, whoa. And Pastor Nacuda started laughing because that's Romanian custom. That means they like you. Well, I didn't know that. So anyways, they left the stage and some other kids came on. And they were a little older and they sang and got pelted again. I'm thinking, wow, I'm glad they liked me, They didn't like me, But anyways, as the kids got older, I noticed something. That these kids were special need kids. This was a special needs orphanage. And as the kids got like teenagers, you could really see the autism and the, Down syndrome. And I went, wow. And I said to myself, these are the least of the Romanians. And so anyways, they finished, and I got pelted, and I was getting all the stuff off me and stuff. And Pastor Nacu, got up and sang with the people there, and he gave, a Christmas message. While he was doing that, they ran me downstairs, and, I'm just, getting all the stuff off me. And I was to stand by the door as they come down the steps and give a gift and hand it to them, and then they were going to go this way. So, I was standing there. And before the kids came down, this one Romanian lady said, wait a minute. Kapleza, which means wait a minute. So she went ahead and she went over and I looked and there was about 10 little girls, about 10 little Romanian children. And they were sitting over there by this building. Now there's 3 foot of snow on the ground. And these little kids were sitting over there by this building. I went, wow, what are they doing over there? So she brought them over, and as they came closer, I could see they were blind. They were all blind. They couldn't go upstairs with the rest of the kids. Their hands were tied like this. And so they were all in a line. And they brought them over to me to give them the gifts first. They peed their pants. Some pooped their pants. And as they were coming over, the Lord spoke to me. You know what he said? He said, you're wrong. I like it when the Lord says I'm wrong. He says, David, you're wrong. These blind little girls are the least of the least of the Romanians. And on the way back to Suceava, God spoke to me and he said, you know what? You could not offend those little girls. You couldn't offend them. Because there was no offense in them.
There was no offense in them. We only get offended when the offense in us is touched.
Wow.
Psalm 119, 165, wonderful verse, says, "Perfect peace have they, perfect peace have they, that keep the law, and nothing shall offend me." Perfect peace have they that keep the law, and nothing shall offend me. In the Greek that goes, "Perfect peace have they that keep the laws." And it ends, "And nothing will cause you to stumble and fall out of the way." Wow. Perfect peace. We must allow God to work in our lives and get us over being offended. The next one, I don't know. Maybe while you said that today, Pastor Barnes, I talked about America and the flag and everything. God must be able to get us over a life of ease. A life of ease and things of this world. We are a called out people. Amen? Not so. Most Christians are trying to pad their bank account. They want to get the nicest house in town. Most Christians are trying to dig their feet into the earth as far as they can. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible refers to the church as sojourners. We're not supposed to try to get the biggest and best. We must have a desire for those things, or we must not have a desire for these things of the world. Matthew 6:33, a wonderful verse. You know, Jesus was talking here. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Isn't the kingdom of God wonderful to seek? We say, "Well, the kingdom of God, this wonderful church." No, sorry, this church is not the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? It's not. The Bible tells us what the kingdom of God is, right? Romans 14:17 says what? The kingdom of God is righteousness. Wait a minute. Righteousness sounds like a wall to me. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. This building isn't the church. The Bible tells us that Jesus says, "I will build my church." You know who the church is? We are the church. Wow. This building and this group of people is a product of allowing God to work in your life. And because of that, then now we have a building. But it's not about the building. It's about the work. It's about the work. The kingdom of God, you can get a job, you can make money, I see it on TV, so forth and so on. If that is your focus of the kingdom of God, then you will never have righteousness, you'll never have joy, and you'll never have peace. It's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, Jesus told the disciples, is within us. Wow. Can you imagine that? The kingdom of God is within us. It's not out there somewhere. The kingdom of God is within us. We sing a song called "God Bless America." God bless America. And another song we sing, I can't remember, every time around the 4th of July, they sing it, you know. But you know what? That song is wrong. The song is wrong. It's not "God Bless America." That's backwards. You know that? It should be "America Bless God." Because God is to us what we are to Him. Amen? God is to us what we are to Him. For example, who wants love today? Who wants peace? Joy? I didn't get a lot of hands, Pastor Barnes, but I bet you if I do this, watch this. If I go like that, who wants money? Huh? Who wants money? But I bet I got a bunch of hands, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that how that verse ends? We would rather have money more than righteousness. Ask someone to quote that verse, and that's where they normally stop. Kingdom of God. Very few people go, and his righteousness. You want to know why? Most people today, most Christians today, see no value in righteousness. But God is to us what we are to God. If we want love, we've got to give love away. If we want God to bless us, then we've got to bless somebody else. If we want peace, then we have to give peace. There's a spiritual principle in operation there. What we want God to be to us, we must be that to God. And whatever we want, whatever you want from God, you've got to give that away. If you want money, guess what? Got to give it away. My teacher would do this. He would say, and maybe this is just for the men, you know? Once God gets a hold of this, guys, he has everything, right? Am I right? Once God gets a hold of your money, now I'm not a prosperity teacher, oh no, but once God gets a hold of your money, he's got everything. Oh, it's easy to give our heart to him, isn't it? Oh God, forgive me of my sins. You want me to do what? Holy cow, you know. We must allow God to work in our life and get us over this desire for an easy way to heaven and the things of the world. If not, God can't use us. The last point that I would like to share tonight, and it's critical. It's critical. God must be able to show us ourselves for who we really are. Ouch. I'm glad you're sitting down. But God must be able to show us our heart. Show us who we really are. Not who we want to be, or even who we think we are. God must be able to show us our heart. That's a painful process in our life. I promise you. I promise you. Paul had that revelation of who he was. And you know what his confession was? Woe is me. That was Isaiah. Isaiah 6:5 said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. After he saw King Uzziah high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. And then God said, oh yeah? Well, there's King Uzziah. Here's your heart. And his words was, woe is me. God compared King Uzziah to Isaiah. And he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Paul's confession in Romans 7:18 says, I know that is within me, within my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Wow. Within my flesh. It took Jesus 3.5 years to bring Peter to the point of this. This is John chapter 20. Feed my sheep. And the third time, Peter doesn't say, Lord, you know I love you. You know what Peter says? He says, Lord, you know all things. Wow. Lord, you know all things. Finally, Peter confessed to Jesus that he knows all things. Peter was saying, Jesus, I now know that you know that I'm not the man that I used to be. Or that the man that I am. I now know that you know all things. That's the place that God wants to work in our lives. Till it brings us to a place, and we too have that revelation of, I know that you know all things. And unless we allow God to work in our life and show us our heart, what it really... Have you ever thought about what you're giving to, you know, to Jesus? Isn't that amazing? I give you my heart. Your heart? Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. That's a real Easter basket we're giving to Jesus, right? I don't think so. We're giving him all of our problems, all of our nastiness, and all of our evilness that's in our heart. That's not much of a present, but what does God do? God takes that, and he gives us back what? Beauty for ashes. Because he consumes that. He gives us beauty for ashes out of that. We must allow God to work in our heart and in our lives to get us over these things and other things in our life. And as I said, this is a painful process. This is a very, very painful process. Did you know the longer you go with the Lord, the tougher it gets? It's true. The longer you go with God, the more difficult it gets. And it's the same thing with you raising your children. When you have a little child, you go ahead and you kind of give them a break here and there. And I told you to do this, and they don't do it. And you kind of, you know, you love. But the older that child gets, the more discipline you bring into his life. Hey, discipline's good. Because now he has to learn. That learning process is kicking in. And it's the same way with our Christian walk. The longer we go with God, the more restrictions and limitations He brings into our life if we're going to come to the end and the purpose that He's planned for our life. Restrictions and limitations in a Christian's life brings you to fulfillment and purpose. Not freedoms. Oh, no, 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 no. Freedom. No, 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 no. It's not freedom. It's limitations and restrictions. You must be limited to this word. You must be restricted to the things that God has said and done in your life and wants you to do. You must restrict yourself to that and limit yourself to that. If not, then you're never ever coming to completion in the plan and the purpose. I remember the first time I went to Nairobi, Kenya, back in 98 or 97, 98, I was speaking to about 500 pastors. There's a big denomination in Kenya called Deliverance Church. And so it was like 500 pastors. And my host pastor was the number two pastor of the church in Omoja, Joseph Matua. And they had, at that time, about 35,000 members. And so anyways, I was speaking to these 500 deliverance pastors. And I made the statement, I said, nowhere in the Bible has God ever delivered anybody. And I saw Joseph sliding down in his seat. I could see him thinking, oh my God, I'm through. And I said, it's true. I said, did Daniel go into the lion's den? He did. He was delivered to the lion's den. Three Hebrew children, did they go to the fiery furnace? Yep, weren't delivered. Did Jesus go to the cross? Yeah. God doesn't want to deliver us. If He has to deliver us, we have failed. If God has to keep delivering you from this situation and this area and this area and situation in your life, you haven't succeeded when He delivered you, you have failed. God wants to develop us. That's God's intention in our life. It's not delivering us. Oh, it's too difficult. Oh, God, get me out of here. No, no, no. God wants to hold your feet to the fire. God wants you to sweat. God wants you to allow Him to work in your life and show you your heart and show you those areas that are not of Him so that they can be removed. Wow. God is not trying to make our life comfortable. Do you know that? You know that, right? I don't see a lot of head bobbing there. I don't see that. What do you mean? What do you mean? God's not trying to make me happy. God's not trying to make me popular. God's not trying to make me beautiful. God, Pastor Barnes, you ready for this? God's not trying to give me the biggest church in Jacksonville. He's not. All that is, that's worldly religion stuff. That's not God's purpose and plan for your life. God's purpose and plan for your life is to conform you into the character and the image and the nature of Jesus Christ. That's His purpose and plan. That's what He's trying to do in your life. And it's not about happiness. He don't care how happy you are. He don't. He wants you to be a son and a daughter of His. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to conform you and I into the image, The word image there all throughout the Bible is translated icon. He's trying to make sons and daughters that look like his son, Jesus Christ. And if he can't do that, then you have no future with him. There'll be no ruling and reigning with him. You may be forgiven of your sins, and you get to go to heaven, which would be wonderful, but that will be it. You will be sitting there somewhere, doing something, but you will not be ruling and reigning. You have no crowns to throw at his feet. You'll just be there. I don't know. But you won't be ruling and reigning with him in great victory. Whew. Wow. Last verse. Let's go to one more verse. Psalms 139:23. Wonderful verse here. A wonderful run of verses. This is my prayer for us today. This is my prayer for us today. So David speaking, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart." Wow. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever asked God to show you your heart? Boy. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. That's in the King James Version, I think. The New King James has anxieties. Verse 24. "And see if there be any wicked way in me." Wow. "And lead me in the way everlasting." "Search me, O Lord." I think that's a song. Pastor Barnes, is that a song? I think that's a song that some churches sing. "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart." Wow. That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you today. It's for us to have the courage to ask the Lord to search our heart. I promise you, if you don't want that to happen, don't make that prayer. Because God desires to do that. God wants us to open up our hearts. And I'm going to tell you, if you give God free rein in your life, He will begin to work in your life. And He would love to do that. But I promise you, if you're serious, if you're really dead dog serious, as they say in the South, I promise you, He will begin to work in your life. He'll begin to work in your life. And work and work and work and work. But at the end of that work, then you'll be able to say, "This is the doings of the Lord. And it's marvelous in my sight." That's the everlasting way. The verse 14 is talking about. That's the way. The work of God in our life. It's a continuous process. And again, if we do not allow the Lord to work in our life, if we never allow God to do that, then we have nothing of Him. Sadly, I travel around the world, and I go in many, many churches, and I've seen many, many, many people that just come to church, and they've never allowed God really to work in their life. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for your love and for your many mercies, Father. Lord, thank you for your word today, Father, Lord. Lord, thank you for that wonderful word, Father, Lord, that you give to us. And Lord, that wonderful work, Father, Lord. Lord, I would ask that you today, Father, Lord, that this would be our prayer. Lord, this would be our anthem, Father, Lord. This would be, Father, Lord, what you would have us to do, Father. Lord, to allow you to search us, Father, and know our heart. Lord, search us and know our ways, Father, so that, Lord, you can lead us in that way everlasting. So we thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. We give you all the honor and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.